Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Before the Olympics, it was called the Panathenaic Games, and this was in Athens, Greece, and they had these unique set of events. And this one particular race was called the Torch Race, and it was actually the inspiration for the Olympic torch with the Olympic Games that came later. So this is the Panathenaic Games, and what they would do was the race was a very unique, this torch race was a relay. And it was a very unique relay because it wasn't about who could run the fastest. Okay? Most relay races, you run as fast as you can. The first person to cross the finish line, they win. That's not how this race worked, because what you did was you had to run a relay race with a torch. Now, if you ran too slow, your torch would burn out before you crossed the finish line. And if you ran too fast, your torch would burn out because you ran too fast. So the key was to know how to run and keep your focus on the light. And as you ran and kept your focus on the light, you knew that you just kept pressing. Now, here's why this is important for us today. Because I see two types of Christians that we primarily deal with, and this is kind of a message of encouragement to both types. Type number one are those who have adopted a passive faith, where everything, your faith is a spectator sport, where pretty much you come and you view and you see. And so if I look at my faith, you're kind of like that guy who's not doing his laps, and his torch is going to burn out, and he's not going to have anything to pass to the next leg of the race. Now, if that's you and this is your group, I got a wonderful, loving message to you. I want to kick you in your rump until you get going. Okay? That's that first group. That's what you're going to hear today. Second group, to those individuals who are running so fast and haphazardly that they've lost sight of the light. And because when you lose sight of the light's going out. And as you get ready to go and you hand off your torch, you'll have run fast and you may have covered a lot of ground, but you got nothing of substance to hand to the next generation. To that group, if you're in that group, we got to learn to slow down. May I remind you that Moses heard the voice of God when he slowed down. And for those people today, we need to understand a little bit of that. So here's a message of balance. And here's why I say that. Because as we begin to look at the city of Ephesus, and we begin to see what was going on in the backdrop, this is going to begin to make sense. Here's where it gets kind of interesting. We read, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Here's the problem when we do a critical textual study here, is several of our main earliest copies of this letter don't have the word Ephesus. So how do we know it's to this group? Well, some of them do, but several of them do not. And so what we believe, what most Bible scholars believe now, was this was what was called a circular letter. In other words, Paul wrote this letter to be passed from household to household in these churches, in these home churches, in this entire region. So we don't think that this was a specific letter to one church, but this was to all the churches, which meant that this was supposed to be circulated to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Sardis, to Thyatira, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea, that this letter was supposed to be spread. There's nothing in this letter that is specific naming specific individuals in the church like Paul often did. So the next thing we see is this praise. We have this greeting. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greeting that he writes. And then he has some praise in verse 15. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. He's talking about this entire area. So those are some things that we see in all Paul's letters, and they kind of let us know. Now, who was the subject matter? Who was he sending this to? The target audience. Again, it was the saints in the entire area around Ephesus. Now, let's look at Ephesus as a city, because here's where we begin to see why this is important for us in the United States of America in 2016. As Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. Okay? What has been will be again. And what we're seeing now is not a whole lot different than what we've seen even back then in the first century. Ephesus, in its day, was an important city. In fact, it was a staggering city. It was a famous city. We see in the map here. It is on the coast. In Paul's time, the harbor came right up to the city. Now, if you were to travel there, or those people who've been to the Holy Land and been through modern-day Turkey, you'll see that Ephesus is now about 2 miles from the coast, because that has all silted in the centuries that have followed. But in Paul's time, there was a port there, and there was 2 major crossroads, a north road and a road that went all the way across modern-day Turkey to the west. And so Ephesus sat here on this major trade route. It was known as a cosmopolitan city. It was very wealthy. It had all kinds of visitors from all over the area at the time. And in it was known one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis, or the goddess Diana. Now, what was very interesting about this is most archaeologists feel that there was a meteorite that they found that came down, and that they found and they picked it up, and it had all these bumps and all these lumps around it. And they said that was kind of an embodied form of this goddess Artemis that had come down, this goddess Diana. And so as we see depicted in this view of the goddess Artemis, all of these lumps, which they're translating to, there's a goddess of fertility as breast on this large thing. Now, they built this temple that I said was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. It was 425 feet long. It was 220 feet wide, and it had 127 white marble columns, each one being an estimated 62 feet high. Think about this thousands of years ago, that they built this. And it was awe-inspiring. And in the middle of it was this image of Diana that they said to have fallen to earth. And this was so popular that Ephesus emerged as a religious center of all Asia. Now, why are you telling us all this? Because it was also the center of their commerce. You see, the silversmiths, they made these little idols, and it was even on their coins. You see this coin here, Diana of Ephesus, we see this old coin. This is actually from 50 AD. And so we believe that this coin here was actually around the time that Paul was going there, this tetradrachman, that we feel like this was a coin. In fact, you can buy this coin on eBay for $18,200 American dollars. Hey, it's only $5 shipping. Okay? All right. And Paul shows up with a message that is contrary to the norm of everything they're hearing. In Acts chapter 18, we read that Paul went to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila, and he taught in the synagogues, and then he left Priscilla and Aquila there. They mentored Apollos, and Apollos went on to encourage the churches, and then Paul returned. And in Acts 19, verse 8, we read that Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with them and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. He preached for 2 years here, being very base, just talking to people. He says, and so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. I want you to know something. Paul ran his lap with the torch, and he ran it well. He got busy so much that everyone in his sphere, everyone in Asia heard about the gospel because of his preaching. He shared it and those people shared it. And because he shone his light brightly, he made a difference. And here's the response of people. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. That is $500,000 in U.S. currency now. That's about $500,000. That is burning through money almost as fast as the state of Illinois does per day. Not quite. But can you imagine that? Now just for a second, think of burning $500,000 worth of stuff. That must have been some sermon that Paul preached. He preached a sermon that so convicted them that they were willing to leave stuff that they had focused their life. In other words, their treasures, everything that they had invested their self-worth into, they abandoned because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, I think we need some of that. Anybody else? So I got three quick points for you today, and I'm going to put them all together. Underneath this, guys, not all love the light. Here's the truth. Not everyone. And here's why. Because number one, the light exposes darkness. That's why not everyone loves the light. How many of you love to be corrected? Does anybody here love that you look forward to being corrected? Husbands, how many of you love it when your wife corrects you? Wives, how many of you just love it when your husband tells you something to do that's different? Anybody? Okay. People, we don't like that. And here's why. We get resentful. How many of you get defensive when people try to correct you? I do. That's a knee-jerk response. You mean you can tell me how to do my job better than me? Mm-hmm. Exactly. It happens. And so when the gospel is preached, there's a certain part of us that, man, it cuts across the grain. Maybe earlier today when I said, those of you who have a passive Christianity, that your Christianity is nothing except you view it. It's just something that you're here as a spectator. Maybe you thought, well, now a preacher's in a bad mood. I wish he'd go back to Colorado. How dare he say, or for those of you who are saying, oh, well, he doesn't understand how distracting life is. I get it. You want to see how many miles I put on my silly car in the past 2 weeks? And it wasn't for big ministry events. It's been chasing after ball games. I love my kids and I love seeing them grow up. But I'm just like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm trying to find that balance just like everybody else. But we can't just go along with society. Brothers and sisters, here's the message that I think we all need to understand. We can't just go along with society because Jesus says, wide is the road that leads to destruction. He also said, hey, narrow is the road that leads to life and only few will find it. And I think if Jesus said it, those words merit our consideration. So light exposes darkness, but light also requires change. You see, you can come Sunday after Sunday. I always love it when I sit at the back door and people come up and they say, oh, Pastor, I appreciate your message. I wish such and such was here to hear that. And I appreciate that, but my immediate thought is, and you didn't need it? Because I needed it. Because pretty much I guarantee anything I will share from here, I'm preaching to myself first. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to learn. I'm still trying to understand what it means to, and I've got places to grow. I haven't hit my stride yet. I'm only 24 years old and I haven't quite hit my stride yet. So I'm looking for it. And my next lap, I want my next lap to be the best lap that I can possibly run. And I hope all of you do as well. If you think, well, my running days have passed me by, I want to say absolutely not. Sarah was having babies at 100. Some of you just gave me a real dirty look there. All right. Light requires change. $500,000 in a pagan city. People were willing to give this stuff up. You can hear the good news, but hearing doesn't equate to change. What equates to change is when you take the message in and you realize it needs a response. Now, what I need to change is not what you need to change. It's different. Some of us Maybe what God is calling us to leave is maybe our laziness. Maybe the fact, maybe some of us have selfishness. That's our understanding. Maybe some of us, we are so consumed with just our little world that we haven't prioritized our spiritual disciplines. Maybe some of us are just prideful. That's a very common one. Maybe we just need to re-examine and say, hey, look, you know, inside there's something that the light is requiring me to change. For these individuals, they had invested themselves in idol worship. And so now it was going to cost them something to come out of that. They had to be changed. And some are resistant to change. But here's the good news. And here's what I want to leave you with here today. The light offers blessing. You know, the cool thing about this torch race, those who ran wisely, who kept their eyes on the light when the sun went down, they could see their pathway. They could navigate their way. And not only that, their way could be a beacon for those who are following them. And I pray that we would get that imagery in our mind and we would be encouraged. You see, there's two worldviews today. Worldview number one is that it says that we have been spoken into existence by God. That's my worldview. I will tell you very plainly. I don't look at life on the planet Earth. I don't look at the delicate balance of where the Earth is located in the middle of the right type of solar system, just the right distance from the right type of sun, shielded from all, it's in a pocket of solar systems in a galaxy that's shielded from all kinds of other stuff that would wipe us out, and it's had just the right balance. And then life is so delicate and intricate and everything we need, and then intelligence and then consciousness and then thought. I can't take that's random. And so for me, and again, if much more intelligent people than me, then fine. I'm happy in my stupidity, but I also know God, and I've seen God do miracle after miracle in my life that only validates that worldview that I have. That's my worldview. And because of that worldview, because I know I was created, that mankind was created and spoken into existence by God, that tells me two things: that I have purpose and meaning, and that there is an outside authority. If there is a God, then He is the absolute creator and He has absolute authority. Hey, to my kids back there, yay! I got my baby crew. I'll be happy to take them anytime. I used to do that with Lainey. Hudson, Ezra. Okay. I love it. So my worldview, you know what, I look at the babies and I remember seeing the birth of my kids and I just remember being awestruck at that moment. And all I could do is say, praise you, God. And so that's my worldview. That's what I believe. And that's what things make sense. And because I believe that worldview, I believe that there is an absolute authority. And that God is an absolute authority. Now here's the second worldview, is it's all random. We just happened. It's a chance accident. And if you roll the random dice long enough, it's gonna happen. Well, high-level mathematicians would actually disagree with you about that. If anybody who would like to have a discussion about that, I got some great resources I'd love to share with you. But going back to that worldview. So if that is your worldview, then there is no purpose, and then you have no chance, and then there is no absolute truth, so you create your own. In other words, you're your own God. And whatever you say goes. There's the difference about these two worldviews. Now, the Apostle Paul was understanding, as he was bringing this message, this doctrinal message to people, it was critical that he's giving them the sound doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he breaks the letter to Ephesians into two parts. And it's very interesting, these two parts. Chapters 1-3 deal with our relationship with God. Chapters 1-3 is all about who we are in God, our position in God. Chapters 4-6, they deal with our relationship to one another. Here's why I think this is cool. They ask Jesus, what's the most important commandment? You know what Jesus says? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He tells them, then he says, the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see that reflected in Paul's teaching here. This letter is all about doctrine. your relationship with God, who you are in Christ, chapters 1 through 3, chapters 4 through 6, how you relate to one another. So let's look at this wonderful blessing that the light offers us that many are reluctant to see. And we're going to wrap up our message after we read these several verses. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Are you ready? Let me ask again. Are you ready? How many of you are hot? No? I'm sweating. I'm sorry. I'm glowing. I'm glowing like a pig up here. Okay, here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's where it gets good. This is Paul talking about our relationship with God, who has blessed us in Christ with, what's the next word? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So all of you, if you're sitting here today, I got good news for you. You're not just here. You're there. You are not just sitting here. You are literally also, if you are in Christ, you are in a spiritual place and you have a blessing from Christ. So when I'm sitting going through hard times, when I get bad news, when my bank account says, hey, you need to worry, I'm not just here. I'm also seated in heavenly places with Christ. And I know if I'm sitting on daddy's lap, it's going to be okay. Here's what this translates to my life. If those of you who are in the middle of a bumpy part in your road, man, if you're in a hard place, I got good news with you. You're not just here, you're there as well. Why? Not because you're so good, not because you're so wonderful, not because you're so lovely, because you're in Christ. And that's where Christ is seated. He goes on. He says, even as he had chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. In other words, you were created to be his child, and he chose you. That's great news. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, that which he has blessed us in the beloved. Here's some even better news. In him, we have redemption through his blood. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He goes on, he says, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Anybody mess up? Yes, we've all messed up, and we have forgiveness. Where? In him. You don't have forgiveness in yourself. You do not have forgiveness because you say, I'm sorry, 50 million times. That's not why you have forgiveness. You have forgiveness one and only way, in him. And what a tremendous blessing that is. In Christ, we have these blessings, not in ourselves. You see, I can say I'm sorry 100 times and I can do as many acts of penance as I can. I can wear myself out doing things and none of that matters. It's not what I can do, it's what Jesus has done. Someone give me an amen to that. And what he has done is complete, it's absolute, it's 100%, it's every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Man, I'm here, but I'm there as well. The forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In other words, daddy knows best, making known to us the mystery of his will. I don't have everything figured out, but he will reveal those things as I walk in him. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You know what? I got to be honest. I've been looking at the headlines. I've been reading an awful lot of news. And we live in a crazy political cycle. Is anybody's head spinning? I posted this on Facebook. For 2016, my candidate is a big giant meteorite. Just come end it all already. You'll get it in a minute. It's crazy. And it's easy, as I talk to believers, as I talk to Christians, it's easy right now for people to say, I don't know what to do. I don't know. This is crazy. The world seems like it's spinning out of control. Anybody? Guess what? It's not. He's still in control. And he's working it all together underneath the counsel of his good wisdom. Does that mean every choice that we make is pleasing to him? No. All I need is to look at my life real closely and realize I've made some bonehead decisions. Do I have any brothers and sisters who can agree with that in their life? Yes. And you know what? He loves me in spite of myself. Praise God. That's what this means, guys. This is good stuff. In him he goes on, 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, this means to put your full trust in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. In other words, the Holy Spirit was a down payment. He invested something inside of us. And that's beautiful. Now, I just wrapped these up together. So here's what we just read. In Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Does that sound good, guys? Imagine if you come and you come, you go to a restaurant, and instead of bringing the menu, they say, there's one choice, everything. What would you like? No, you get it all. You get it all. Everything you need, this is what you get. What is it that you need that God is not going to provide for you? Well, a big fishing boat. What is it that you need that God is not going to supply for you? Every spiritual blessing that you need, he has given to you in Christ. He chose us. You know what? That's a big thing. And we read through that quickly. You know, some of you were never chosen for anything. Some of you were that kid like me who sat in grade school and who wasn't popular and who just moved in and everyone's looking at you like the new guy and everybody has their clique and you feel like the big outsider. You're the square peg and there's a bunch of round holes around. That was my life in grade school. It was miserable. I couldn't stand it. Had a very alcoholic father and I felt just like the outsider. You know why this is important to me? And for any of you who sat there and say, man, I just don't fit anywhere. I don't fit anywhere. And I bury that down and I put a face and I put a smile and I walk around like, it's okay. But underneath, inside of all, I'm just crying. And I'm thinking, does anybody get me? I got news for you, brothers and sisters. He chose you. He chose you. The creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the righteous heavenly Father, the omnipotent, almighty, omniscient God chose you. Yeah. Went through the schoolyard, passed everyone else, and went right to you and said, I choose you. You don't have any choices left. You know what? I'm going to send somebody from my team, my own son. He'd go out and I'm going to take you and you get to take his place. Whew. And because of that choice, you can now be holy and blameless before him. He can look at you and all your warts and all your hiccups and all your failures and all your mess up and all that stuff. He can look at you and he can say, you are holy. You are blameless because he took it all and put it on Jesus. And now he took Jesus' righteousness and he allows us to be clothed in that. Whoa, somebody. In him we have redemption through his blood. He predestined us for adoption. He forgives us our trespasses. He made known the mystery of his will. We've obtained an inheritance. We're predestined for a purpose. That's a hope. And we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, what else is there? You see, when we forget these things, we run our course. And we either run too fast, ignoring the light. Or we sit around, we don't do anything, and it goes out. So maybe what we can do is find that balance through the Holy Spirit that He gave us. You see, we've been given a time to run our lap for this period of time that you exist in your sphere of influence. Your family, your friends, your co-workers, your people, your neighbors. You were placed in this world, in this place, for this period of time. And you've been given the torch. The Apostle Paul understood it. He got these things. He handed it down. And he's now, you've taken the torch. And this is your lap. What are you going to do with it? Are we going to sit down? Are we going to be motivated to take our lap and be able to hand it off to the next generation? Be able to take it to those around us? It's that important. In our nation, it's that important. God has put us here. I still believe we are one nation under God. And if that's my cause, if that's my case, yeah, it's not just about the United States of America. It's about the world, and it's about our witness to God's love in this period of time. Let's carry the torch, and let's carry it well. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.